Somebody down! Hut, 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 hut!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let's get right to it with our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I don't know. I think maybe that there should have been a penalty on that field goal attempt.
Are you you're mimicking Bears right now? What's happening right now?
The Bears did complain, right? They sent it into the league. And here's the thing. I want to make fun of them because that's apparently what the cool kids do. But I'm not sure they're wrong. And if the Packers hadn't benefited from it earlier in the season when Jeffrey Simmons of the Tennessee Titans was called for it on Braden Narveson's 48-yard missed field goal, I might be more dismissive of it. But the bottom line is Matt LaFleur had exactly the right answer, and that is this is exactly why. I mean, he basically said, don't trust our officials in this league because you could get screwed. And he said, there's been plenty of penalties that I thought should have been called that weren't. And that's why I always preach to the guys. And he does. He's not saying this because it sounds good. He definitely, I've heard him talk about this with the team, with us, many times in 6 years. Do not let it be in the officials' hands to begin with. Because that's the kind of stuff that gets you beat. He usually says, get your ass beat.
Jason, isn't it kind of the league's fault because they could make it very simple and just say you cannot touch the long snapper? That inside gap on either side of the center is dead. It's dead. You can't be in it. So they kind of bring it on themselves.
Right, and then they obviously don't apply it consistently, right? I mean, that guy gets sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. I mean, my whole point with my little whiny voice was that they very rarely call it. Like, when they called it in the Tennessee game, I was like, really? Like, and again, I talk to Matt Orzech a lot just because he's one of the guys that kind of hangs out in the locker room, and he's an interesting guy. So I talked about this with him after that happened, and he's like, yeah, it happens on most kicks to some varying degrees. Now, do I think in the Packers' case on the game winner that it was egregious enough that the flag should have been thrown? No, probably not. But the bottom line is that when you make a rule and then you enforce it with varying consistency, then you have a situation here where, I mean, it's not like the Bears are expecting them to proclaim, I doth declare that that does not count and the Bears have won. So I don't know what you accomplish other than looking like you're complaining, which you are. But this exposes yet another example of the NFL having an inconsistency with how they meet out their rules.
But that, I mean, Jason, teams do this all the time. They just don't publicly declare that they've sent plays in to be looked at and reviewed by the league, right?
Yeah, how did that, somebody told me about, who did Matt Eberflus announce that in like his Monday press conference?
Yes, he did. He most certainly did.
What is he? I'm glad he looks good with that new hairdo. Now, I suppose I have to acknowledge that back in the day, your old coach, Chu, Holmgren used to bring that up all the time. Like he was the king of, we sent four plays into the league, and here's what I sent in, and this is crap.
Yeah.
But that is very rarely done 20-plus years later.
Jason.
Yeah, Jerry Rice fumbled. They told us.
He did. It's true. It happened.
Yeah.
Jason, what are the vibes surrounding Jordan Love after the game this weekend? He threw another interception. Gabe has kind of told us just get ready for it. Every week it's coming at some point. But it seemed like he made progress and was sort of evolving in other areas. What was the vibe in 1265?
Yeah, I think it was a great day. I mean, a great day. yes, he threw that pick, but it wasn't because he made a dumb decision, right? He sailed the ball. I still don't. I asked LaFleur about this yesterday. I don't know if he threw it so high that Tucker Kraft thought that he was throwing it to someone behind him, right? Did you see how Tucker Kraft kind of brings his arms down?
I think he didn't want to tip it, Jason.
Oh, okay.
I think he didn't want to tip it. Yeah.
So, because I asked LaFleur about that too, because I said, you know, I know you don't watch the TV copy, but there was a camera right behind him, and you could see him bring his arms down as it sailed over his head. But it was a bad throw, and I would much prefer him, you know, sail a ball than decide to underhand the ball as he's falling down out of bounds in his end zone to the opponent. But I thought he looked like the guy we expected him to be this year, didn't you? Like, he was able to use his legs. He stood in, I mean, the completion, have you guys rewatched the completion to Watson to set up the game-winning touchdown, the 60-yarder?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets popped.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like, he stands in against that. He made some plays with his legs. He extended some plays. Now, I know he only threw 17 passes. He was fearless and maybe a little dangerous and foolish on that run to the pylon before his sneak to take the lead. But I thought, for the first time since Brazil, he looked confident, healthy, decisive. And again, part of it is being healthier and his knee not bothering him as much and his groin not bothering him as much. But I keep saying it. I know I sound, you know, repetitive, but he took every single offensive snap with the number one offense on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday last week. And if that's not proof that you're a better player when you practice, I don't know what is.
Jason, what's going on with Jair?
Great question. Certainly better than, I mean, I could have just probably gone that route with my question yesterday. You you know this from my time covering you, like one of the third rails that I don't want to touch is questioning a guy's heart or his health. Mm-hmm. Or his commitment to his team. But I it's hard, and I tried to ask it in the most respectful way possible of LaFleur yesterday. It's hard to understand a player who goes through a pregame warm-up. They decide among the coaching staff, the medical staff, and the player, okay, we're going to have you be active. We'll put you on a pitch count. But if you feel good enough to play, we want you to play. We need you. You're one of our guys. And then they put him on a pitch count. He plays 10 snaps in the first two or three series, and then he's done for the day. I find myself wondering, and I am happy to ask him this if I get the – because he and I have a good working relationship. I didn't try to talk to him last week. He did not do any group interview, but I know Rob Domofsky talked to him last week. I have no problem approaching him in the locker room and saying, look, I have to ask you this. Do you feel like if you're not 100%, you can't play? Because he said something to that effect last year when he was dealing with his injuries. And I want to go back and find the exact quote. But that's what I find myself wondering. And if that's how you felt, like, I'm not saying Robert Rochelle the musical, has made the long journey from Milan to Minsk to all-pro corner. But you would certainly rather have a guy who's healthy enough to play than somebody who leaves you skating a man down after 10 snaps. So I don't know is the answer that I can give you, but the suspicion I have is that if he's not 100%, there's something about trying to play. Like, look, if we're being honest, when he, as a young player, one of the things that stood out to me was how, despite being kind of diminutive, how he was fearless when it came to tackling. And then he got run over by Najee Harris by the Steelers a few years ago. Remember, what must that have been?
21?
21. Yeah, 21, right? And then you saw him on that Deebo Samuel run, him and Za'Darius Smith, who was also not really interested in doing anything for the team, both having a chance on 3rd and 7 on Deebo Samuel in that playoff game, and neither one tackling him. Like, I don't, he went from being the most willing undersized corner tackler to, and I, again, I don't blame him. I mean, he jacked up his shoulder and missed most of that season trying to make that tackle. But after that injury, he was not the same tackler. So again, I don't know. He's not the easiest guy to understand when you try and kind of pin him down on things, but it's hard to understand why he was active. If you were already going to put him on a pitch count, LaFleur said he knew the risk, but down deep inside, he has to be irritated. I can't imagine he's not.
Jason, is part of this team's struggles on third down because nobody has truly emerged as that number one go-to guy in the receiving corps? You know, like when
that's
you
an interesting question.
Well, because when you have Devontae, oh, hey, 3rd and 7, we got this play for Devontae, yeah. Or Jordy or Greg Jennings, you can go back in the lineage of Packers receivers. But is that part of it, that they just don't have, oh, 3rd and 7, we've got this go-to play because we know that Romeo Doubs is going to get open here and he's our guy?
Do you remember when we first started with me being on the show and we used to do like this weird, like rapid-fire question?
Yeah.
Like the
spin
that
we used to spin something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to state for the record, because, you know, we had some bumps in the road there. The questions on this program, don't tell KBN, but the questions on this program are the best that I get all week. So I really appreciate having to think about my answers. Sorry. So
are you complimenting us to stall so you can come up with an answer?
No, I think it's important to compliment people. I really do. I think that's really important, and we don't do it enough. I think it's a great question, and I'm not stalling because I think you're exactly right. And I thought Romeo Doubs was that guy. And now I don't know what Romeo Doubs is. Like, he came back from his pouting and got some pretty good opportunities in back-to-back games, and I thought, okay, all is right with the world. And then he hasn't been much of a factor of late. What did he have, one catch? I know they only threw 17 passes, but he only had one catch, right? Mm-hmm. And he had a drop on his first target.
Yep.
I don't know. And you know, let's be honest, third down and red zone are both critical situations. And that had been a place. I mean, he led them in red zone touchdowns last year with 7. He was their go-to guy on third down. I still think there's something, and I don't have any evidence, it's just a gut feeling, but I still feel like there's something bubbling under the surface with him, and I don't know what it is, but he's inconsistent and not a factor like you would like him to be. I would also add this, I'm not proud of this, but I was asking about Christian Watson yesterday to LaFleur, and I usually have a pretty good filter, but I was asking about how important it was for Watson to have a game like that for him and for the team. And I said, you know, this is a guy who had not been involved nearly enough. And, you know, he didn't complain. He didn't just not show up for work one day. And as soon as I said, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that in the press conference, but it's true. I mean, give him credit, mm-hmm. because if anybody had any right to complain and you know what and moan, because I don't know if I can say that and not get dumped by Josh, it was him, and he has never done that, and I respect the hell out of him for doing that.
Jason, 10 games of data points now for Jeff Hafley's defense. Would you say that they are ahead of schedule, on pace, or behind schedule for where this defense needs to be for a championship-caliber team?
I think they're slightly ahead of schedule, not like way ahead of schedule. Look, Sunday was not good for them, right? Like,
the third and fourth down defense were a glaring issue.
Yeah, I mean, when you add in the fourth down and you're 12 of 16 in converting third or fourth downs, and your opponent was 6 of 40. Going into the game over the last 3 games on third down. Yeah, that's not great, Bob. And on top of that, like, I think clearly Jeff Hafley and that defensive staff knew that, look, they are going to try to get the ball out of their quarterback's hand quickly. He got sacked 9 times last week. That's got to be part of it. Now, we don't talk to Halfley until Thursday, but it did appear, and Kenny Clark flat out admitted it after the game, that they were unprepared for the amount of running that Williams did. Which that it's never good when a player says, we didn't really prepare for that. Now, I would come back and say, if the bevy of first-round draft picks on that side of the ball was playing better and contributing more, maybe you would have handled some things a little bit better. But I understand that the prisoner of moment, as Tausch likes to say, reaction is that they're behind schedule or they're not very good. But they weren't very good on Sunday. I get that. I thought what they did against Detroit, though, which just hung 50-some points on Jacksonville, who I know is bad, on Sunday, shows you that when the game is a big game, they've played pretty well. So I don't have a problem with where they're at, though.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We got to take a break. A lot of interesting stuff there that we can dive into when we get back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Guys, I want to talk to you about something important. You. Taking care of your health and appearance isn't just about looking good. It's about feeling strong and confident and ready to take on the world. At Quintessa Aesthetic Center, they make it easy. With experts in advanced skincare, body contouring, and anti-aging treatments, Quintessa is here to help you stay sharp and at your best. When you look good, you feel even better. So why wait? Visit myquintessa.com and take the first step towards a more confident you. That's myquintessa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks, he sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.